Do you find it harder than ever to keep your customer training material up to date? If so, you are not alone. That's exactly why LearnWorlds has become such a standout in customer education. It gives you the flexibility to build training that feels like your brand, not like a boxed-in LMS template. And honestly, the analytics are some of the best I've ever seen. You get real insight into engagement, progress, and ROI without having to become a full-time data analyst. You can also chat with AI to immediately discover anything you want to know about your learner's progress, course trends, or revenue insights. Just ask it questions and let it pull that data for you. The integrations are smooth, especially if you're running HubSpot or automations across your stack. And the platform is actually enjoyable to use for both admins and learners, which I know sounds wild for an LMS. But here's the thing I appreciate the most. Customer education teams consistently tell us that LearnWorlds helps them move faster without relinquishing control. It is learning that scales alongside your product and business. And if you need to even train employees or partners, you can do it within the same account. Just create a new school and you are good to go. The platform is very user-friendly, so you are not relying on devs for changes that you might need to make, which gives you so much autonomy and flexibility. So if you're ready to upgrade your academy experience or rethink how you deliver product education, check out learnworlds.com today. And enter the code CELAB15 for 15% off the first 6 months of your subscription. Everybody, and welcome again to another episode of CLAB, the Customer Education Laboratory, where we're always exploring how to build programs. Customer ed programs is where we've started and where we're continuing. We like to experiment. We like to learn new approaches. We and are out there to exterminate myths and bad advice that stops the growth dead in its tracks. And what I mean by that, again, as we're going into season 8 here, and my friend Anya Edman is with me today. Say hello.
Well, hello, everyone. It's exciting to be here with all of you and to offer some of the perspective that I bring from my personal experience, my personal journey, my professional passions. And I'm really happy to share it and see how cross-pollination across industries, verticals, and areas is beginning to take shape here in New York.
This is exciting. So, Anya, thanks again for joining today. Before I get into this, I did want to take just a moment and say we have been in a bit of a summer break here at CLAB. Been a few more weeks than usually. Like to have gaps, but we have a spate of new sponsors. We're kicking off officially our new season, so you're going to see a lot of great stuff, and you get to lead the pack with the first episode of season 8. We're going to have some fun here today.
I'm excited. Yay. It's like winning a lottery.
I hope so. That'd be great. I need to win the lottery, really. But I'd still do CLAB. So just for fun, let's do our International Day of today. We always look at the daysoftheyear.com. I'm not showing it on the screen because this is primarily audio first. But there are a couple that popped out today. I'll do one, you do one, and let's talk about it and riff on it a little bit.
Sure.
I'm going to pick Get to Know Your Customers Day. I can't believe it. I'll leave you to figure out the date we recorded on, but as I'm customer ed, it's my favorite. What about you?
It goes with the brand.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So AI Appreciation Day. I think this is really interesting that we're talking today. We're talking about AI, building platforms, creating innovation. And it's almost, it's beginning to look like the future because we are beginning to rely on AI. And at the moment, I'm hosting six interns for the summer, and I'm encouraging them to use AI and not just to use it as their kind of like cheat guide or like outsourcing, you know, do something that I'm asking, but actually build a relationship with AI and with the team. So AI Appreciation Day is exciting day. I should mark it in my calendar as as that, because I do feel that one of the reasons I'm here today speaking to you about education, civic tech, technology, AI, what's possible in affordability, how utilities are addressing some of the issues is because of the AI, is because AI is becoming a new learning style where we are able to immerse in what we know, be authentic about what we don't know, and get support and information in areas where it's going to help us expand and lead with open heart, right? So it's a lot of interesting dynamic here and how I've used AI throughout my journey with it, and the relationship as I'm building it, and how I invite other people to do that. So, yay, AI Appreciation Day.
That is, and actually, you've done a pro job at segging into, I always call it the frame-up, where this week, I'm going with a hypothesis. We're going to plant the flag. And one of the big pinions that we've discussed, and you and I have had the good fortune to be able to talk several times so far and build into this, because I liked what you said previously. We at C-Lab are very interested in cross-pollination. We've been very isolated in this software as a service, B2B. It's very insular, right? And there's a much bigger world of people doing all kinds of learning activities. And it's interesting to say when you're talking about AI and how you, I really want you to open up the space and talk about your interns and the things you're doing in your world, because we're all co-learning, working with these new toolings. And I like how you say it's a new learning style. It is, because you can get things out of it. So what I'll say here is that the thing that we think is really a blocker to hard transitions. Now, in this case, you're going to be talking a lot more about energy and civic responsibility and this AI workforce shift, which is hitting everybody. It isn't a technology gap. It isn't even really a skills gap. It's a belief. I love this. It's a belief gap. And as you put it, it's not only learning, it's a belief system. So if that's true, the techniques that we and our folks that are in this customer education collective, our main strength, I think, has been this ability to meet learners where they're at in a nonlinear journey, but driving measurable outcomes, not just, hey, I went and took a class. Well, how do you know what came out of that, right? We need to correlate, ultimately causate, but we're not getting there yet, to outcomes. And those are the things that you've been speaking to. So some of the things we can dig into here, we've been talking about how scaled learning, that's that asynchronous stuff, rebuilds participation, what actually moves outcome. There's a great overlap here between our worlds. And that I really want you to dig into this tension, is belief something you can teach and measure, or are we just relabeling motivation? I don't think so. And you brought up this great term called underserved. So I'm gonna pull back. It's your time to shine, my friend. I really would like you to take some space, talk about you, your background, and what you're leading to, and take the floor here and tell us about what you're involved with.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for opening it up and having me on this episode, on this important opening episode as well. Some of the things that I will mention might sound interesting. Some things might sound out of this world, and some things might make a lot of sense. And one thing that I want to stress, nothing that I say has any meaning until we all create meaning around it. And it's really important to keep in mind, because as we are working with technology right now, it is very different than what we used to work with technology 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago. The speed of change is exceeding the speed of learning. And we are not fully comprehending what that means yet, but until we start envisioning how learning style and AI can supplement a lot of lost potential, there's a lot of profit left on a table, because a lot of people are not getting engaged for different reasons, right? Because as humans, we have 8-hour workday with a break. And sometimes we have mood shifts and late night sleeps or stress within the family. So our productivity level decreases. However, with AI, it can be a strong support system in helping us stay at productivity level that will bring process and progress forward, not just for our own personal career, but for the team as a team effort. So this is a really important topic that's coming up right now, that every single person working from home, working remotely, working on cloud, right, working in this invisible digital space, now has a responsibility of making an effort to be a team player, not only with human coworkers, but with AI coworkers, right? So we are, we've entered the future where we wanted this technology to help us solve unsolvable problems. We needed this advancement in order to start thinking differently, reflect on our actions, and take accountability for what, you know, what some of those decisions mean today. And again, nothing has, what is so is more important than why we're here, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I will be stressing that again and again, because once we're able to say, okay, well, I don't understand, I hear AI, I hear this hype about AI, what's next? What do I do to come out of that bubble of where I am? Because I don't know enough, I'm kind of, you know, in disarray of so much information coming to me. I don't know if this information is accurate. I don't know if this information is truthful. And I'm tired because I have to live a life and make, you know, make a meal. So I don't want to be thinking about AI 24/7. Just tell me how to use it and I'll just use it. And then that's it, right? Like, I don't want to know anything about it. Well, this is no longer the approach that we can take with AI as our learning partner. And we really need to establish relationship. We are learning partners, and something that you mentioned, Dave, before, that learning is taking a significant meaning and not just outcomes. So I disagree with you on that. So we don't know what outcomes there will be yet with this technology, but we do know that it is helping us learn to do things differently. And we do know that some of our processes and workflows are inefficient, and we are not skilled to change them at the rate at which AI is able to change its process in order to identify, you know, opportunities. Definitely. So I'll just pause for a second.
That's a lot and a heavy topic, and I really dig it. So you're really working in that intelligence space, reformatting workflows. We have a partner. I wish I could show you my desk area, but it's absolute chaos. But I have a Hermes agent computer sitting here that runs Claude. And then I have several laptops. I have all these things around me. And it's every day, it's an act of learning. How do I use this to scale up this thing I'm doing? How can I use this to get the right information? How can I cut to the chase and really learn what I need to do right here in Claude or OpenAI or whatever, right? And it's a new world. And then you're in a world that's a little different than mine, where, you know, I'm in software, I'm in tech, I've been here all my life, I feel embedded. And I kind of, even though I'm in the end of later into my career, when you're thinking about digital natives like the interns and folks that you're working with, it's, I'm keeping up, but I feel that pressure every day, and it's constantly a learning thing. Fortunately, I'm a customer ed, so this is my jam, right?
So, yeah. So what you feel, other people feel as well. So you know that. So, yeah. So you're a good thermometer for like what's out there. So one of the things that I'll say is we are all technologists. In whether we want to believe it or not, we've been using, rely on technology for our basic needs, oftentimes for communication with schools, doctors, you know, any alerts, disaster messages from the city, you know, anything and everything right now is on our phones, right? So phone is our life. So we're all becoming really savvy in terms of digital technology. To what degree and to what depth and to what level is an open-ended, you know, question. And who is to say that a veteran coming from a software engineer background and 20 plus and 25 years of experience is has more advanced way of seeing it rather than intern that just graduated, you know, maybe sophomore year in college and studying how decisions are being made in social media altered world, right? So there the level of expertise is now really shifting, and it's, if anything, there is an equilibrium that we're going to be seeing where AI is making knowledge so accessible where experience through time might no longer be meaningful, unfortunately. Right. And this is kind of hard to swallow because we want the experience to be meaningful. If our experience is no longer meaningful, then how do we make solutions and solve problems? And, you know, what does somebody who has not have any experience in a workplace, right, in workflows, how can they bring a solution that you've been working on building for years and years? Right. So, and it is possible. So, being able to set the right guardrails and to be able to constantly be in a relationship of a learner, teacher, mentor with each other, right? Amongst your peers, amongst a younger generation, and with AI. So, right, like it's this triad right now, right? So, like we need to take veterans of industry, digital natives, right? Younger youth, somebody who knows insights of social media and how they've learned to adapt to it, whether it's good or bad. And now we also need to have a lot of autonomy in our own thinking, right? So we cannot be taking what AI, ChatGPT, or any LLM is giving us as 100% truth. We cannot be taking it as a reference point. We need to make sure we have set of questions and inquiries in order to adjust the baseline from which we're working with AI. AI is offering millions of iterations in the moment of question. And because of that, we are no longer able to capture what it is that we asked to begin with. Where do we want to go? What is it that we wanted to learn? It gave us 15 trees of information. Did we need any of them right now in order for us to learn something that we inquired, you know, maybe 10 prompts before? So prompt engineering is no longer part of just the communication language or software engineering trade or AI engineer trade. Prompt engineering is something that should now be taught in schools as a separate subject. There should be training on prompt engineering and understanding what prompt engineering actually does. What is our open-ended question do? What does the closed-ended or guiding question do? And how do we keep working with AI to the point where prompt, we actually working on the question back and forth to understand what is the ideal question to ask for the problem that I'm thinking about? And once we get that information, then we're able to get into the dynamic of learning, right? But we also have to get there. Otherwise, we're going to be simply influenced by AI. And, you know, and that's something we certainly want to avoid.
That's right. I like how you frame this up, Anya, that when I had the good fortune to spend some time doing training via Anthropic's platform and then on Coursera, there was a Google prompting AI basics in their catalog that I took. And my, that had changed everything for me, where now I'm thinking, I'm a scientist by trade, right? I went to school for it. And that whole scientific reasoning and that process about working through, okay, I could just talk to AI and say, do something. know, Claude, make me a sandwich. Well, I can't because they could tell me how to make it. But if I'm very vague in my instruction set, that's a problem because I'm just going to get the AI slop that we talk about. But if I'm very, I won't say meticulous, but I'm iterative and I'm thoughtful and I'm intentional about crafting the discussion with a computer. I've never seen anything like this, which is like, I want to shift back to the things you're doing with your interns. For me, working with AI is very much like working with a very sharp intern or a young professional who is in a career and they're very capable and can do things. They know stuff. And now I can go to AI and say, Claude, okay, today I'm doing, for example, today I had to do a whole reanalysis on a revamp on a project for certification that I'm doing. And I took all of my inputs. And then before I did any of that, I had spent time in my notepad crafting out what it is I really want. I talk with my leader, my peers. And then it took me all day, right? I'm still working very hard. The human, my head and my heart is in this work. And now I'm getting that assist from a platform that can collate all of this stuff for me so much more quickly. It would have taken me a week. Go do this research, go to the library, when we were kids, the library, good God, it doesn't even exist in my mind anymore. I know it's there. But I don't want to dominate the floor, but I'm loving where you're going. What direction do you want to go with this? Do you want to talk a little bit more about your underserved thought and compile these together or talk a little bit and back up about your craft, your field, your students and things like that?
So I'll talk about what I'm doing right now. And I think that's going to open up a lot more a conversation even a little bit further. So over the last 3 years, I've took on a number of different roles in understanding. And again, my background and experience comes from I started my career in corporate finance in mortgage-backed and asset-backed securities, and then I transitioned into small business ownership, and that grew to what we now call startups that we were able to sell $1 million worth of products in a year. So these things that they were happening then, and that was years ago, now they have a very different meaning if they were happening. So I come mm-hmm. with the expertise and experience of financial analysis, running a small business, building, making a multi-channel business, a brick and mortar store, as well as online business, and connecting that to community participation, community needs in order to engage, right? Customers, what do customers need? They need more education. They need, mm-hmm. Variety. They need a very specific guidance. So all those things are something that I've been doing through other non-traditional ways of teaching customers or getting community advocacy or community involvement. And then after Hurricane Sandy and the transition of time, I went into coaching. I'm a certified coach. So open-ended questions and the prompt and engineering is really hitting the right notes with me because questions in coaching are everything. This is how you help a customer, a client, executive see something that they've been stuck on, right? Like they haven't been able to position how can AI bring value to my organization. We're spending now, over $100,000 in different tools. What are those tools are actually returning? How much time are we going to give it to find out if this is meaningful? And can we stop? Because all other competitors are doing the same. So maybe they'll discover something, a customer advantage, how to maintain customers, how to engage, communicate with them, or like what are the customer pain points faster if they're using this technology? And can we keep up now without it? Are we in better or worse? So all those questions are really now our reality, right? It's our fog. We need to understand how to make a decision with so much information. So what I do too, well, that's how we like it, right? This is all the options, all the choices. We want to know it all and have it all and then be be stuck in indecision. But regardless of that fact, so I do a lot of different things. So I work with municipalities, I work with nonprofits, I work with city agencies, I work one-on-one with CEOs and executives in helping address a variety of different issues. And issues that have to do with workforce planning and allocation, with understanding how to utilize AI as a workforce accelerator, and how to craft pilot programs for learning, and how to create those learnings as experiences that people actually want to engage in. Because a lot of learning and a lot of curriculums, people do it, you know, as a box to check off. And they retain, you know, the information that's being retained, I don't have a percentage, but it's very small. And then through experience, we learn. But now our comprehension can be adjusted because the lesson plan would be completely working with our skill, if we're honest in sharing where we are, what it is that we know and what we don't know. So what I'm crafting right now essentially is a case study. I'm working with six interns. One of them is a high school student, and all the rest are college level students. And the first assignment that I gave them before onboarding them is to use LLMs to create a 3 months plan in how to move IRA Energy, which is my consultancy firm, forward. They know nothing about who I am. They know nothing about this business. They haven't seen it. And the plans that they've created make a lot of sense. And how can we work on executing some of those items that they highlighted, and what will the difference be is the current pilot of students, right? So I am very open to their suggestions. I'm very attuned to some of the things where they need more support and understanding. And I'm very keen on team dynamic and constant communication and constant iteration. So if you came up with something, let's share it with the team. Who did you get feedback from, and who got an inspiration from what you've shared? So those are the KPIs now. This is how success should be measured. It's no longer the outcome, because the outcome that is going to be produced based on this type of approach is exponentially, that's the scale that we're looking for, but we're not giving it the right amount of time to nurture itself so that everyone feels empowered by what they bring and the creativity and imagination and how to actually notice the excitement of the other person's ideas rather than like, okay, I worked 9 to 5. Okay, I completed a task. Now you become, you know, it's we're in the game, right? This is a game of life where we're using technology, we're using prompt engineering. It is talking back to us as an assistant while we're doing and completing other tasks. So it's really interesting to capture the findings, you know, to really be able to speak. And what differentiates my experience and background is I'm able to speak about all this with so much certainty because I'm testing it as I'm speaking. I am not coming up with ideas that are imagined, theoretical, or textbook heavy. I'm talking about practical applications of AI. I'm talking about how do we bring communities into energy and affordability conversation early on. I'm teaching a course this fall in Vassar College, continued education course on AI without hype. And one of the first course corrections for the course, I outlined it and I have, it's going to be 4 sessions, is prompt engineering. How can prompt engineering be explained to an adult learner who is afraid of AI and who is not thinking in prompt engineering, who is responsive to emotions and sensitive to words, rather than taking words, taking the ownership of words in their own hands and using them in a matter of inquiry, right? Like, how do we teach ourselves to be more inquisitive, more curious, more stay in continuous dialogue rather than kind of go back inside and be reliant on the knowledge that we have that is not updating as quickly as knowledge that AI brings every second. So those are some of the things that I'm working on. Trust infrastructure is the framework, is the basic framework. There's a number of different modules. Right now, we're building out the use cases and learning modality, and I'm certainly looking forward to sharing this with other universities. Again, this material is relevant to corporate decision-making level executives as well, because decision-making and paralysis about AI and bottom line and margins is really critical right now to understand. We do need to invest in technology. We do need to be conscientious and cautious in how that technology is increasing our expertise and really opening up opportunity for more customers to be participating in learning, right? Because we need people to be testing technology. We need people to be testing the solutions that are offered, whether it's a financial institution, whether it's educational institution, whether it's somebody is just picking up a hobby. We now have immense power to learn at a speed, I don't know, of sound, of light, of with tremendous
of
speed.
Business, of change, of you said it before. I can't remember. The
exact change
phrase.
Change of learning is much slower than change of speed right now.
Do you ever feel like your product team ships faster than you can build training? Yeah, me too. And that's why I've been checking out what the folks at Learn Experts are doing. Their AI platform called Leo takes your existing content, docs, slides, wikis, recordings, and turns it into full training programs, publishing in multiple modalities to nail blended learning for your customers 85% faster than traditional methods. And get this, when your product updates, Leo can update the content faster by automatically incorporating it into your existing outline, content, and even your end of course test or exams. LearnExpert shares that their customers are reporting 90% efficiency here. Now that's time back to actually focus on strategy, or let's be honest, to finally take a lunch break. Plus, it connects with platforms like Skilljar and others so that you can publish straight to your academy without missing a beat. Check it out at learnexperts.ai/CELab and see how you can keep your learning and test in release mode. Learn Experts. Build like an expert, update like a pro.
Right. Well, that's
the speed of change.
The through line there, the connection that was one of the main reasons I wanted to talk with you about this is we have exceeded our capacity to learn at a consistent and sustained rate, where we are asking, let me just try to make this real brief. In more, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the standard motif of learning for a SaaS type product is build an academy, train on that, and you're done, right? You get built some training. What does that mean? How does it work? How do you constellate use cases? How do you talk about workflows? It's not just the thing and knowing how to click the buttons. It's now we've transformed learning into an act of interactivity where I can be in Claude or ChatGPT or Gemini and be prompting and asking questions and iterating, and I'm learning in a like you'd mentioned before, in a completely different way. Now it's like you have that professor, which sometimes you know they're full of BS and they might not be accurate, and that's why you use different sources and your critical thinking skills come into play, where you go, well, okay, tell me your sources. What did you look at? I need to tell you, and I'll open up another session and another one and come back and thread those together with like a meta, a meta agent kind of approach. So I think what you're alluding to is, we're not worrying so much about the knowledge, the intellect. We're worrying about the craft. We're trying to figure out how do we use AI to knock off all that junk that we don't want to do, boring tasks, things that could be automated, get rid of them. We're spending a lot of money wastefully so sometimes because everybody's jumping in and learning these platforms.
It's a research. Right? But, yeah, we're in a very active understanding and learning of what tools are able to deliver. What tools can we create that will be helpful? You know, what tools are relevant to customer satisfaction? If we are our own customer, are we satisfied with the learning that we're receiving? So there's a lot of questions that need to be continuously asked and answered. And the answer will not be static. It's going to be changing as we are learning more information, because what we're going to be uncovering is quite unique. It's very personalized. And that's another component of message that I want to deliver here is what I do is somewhat agnostic. It's industry agnostic. And it's hard to believe because it is more related to system thinking and how we're approaching challenging conversations and decisions, mm-hmm. right? So there is a lot of complexity in a multi-stakeholder environment. Everyone knows that. It's everyone's challenge, right? Like, how do we get to the decision quickly? How do we enroll decision makers early? How do we keep them champions of the project until it starts showing the outcome and result, right? It applies to everything that we do. So importance of creating a platform where everyone knows what they're doing and having an oversight is what I do. I come in, I'll do an interview, a listening tour within the organization, within a group, bringing the knowledge and expertise that I have. I know who knows more and who needs to be part of that conversation, and the vision and scoping and what to do in terms of even sales pitch and approach and you know, communication within the team, and where there might be an opportunity to support each other or the system is something that I help organization get on track. So, right, so it's an interesting. I'm looking for a good title, and there's lots of different frameworks, but it's certainly a human centric approach in implementing AI as a new workforce, right? So AI is no longer doing one task. AI is no longer doing two tasks. It's like one person can have 15 AI topics that are being exponentially researched, but it's very difficult to understand where do we stand in order to keep being productive and not get overburdened with this open source knowledge. And this is how teams are becoming really valuable, because they're able to sustain the key mission and keep the values of organization in how things and information is combined. And where the silos are coming in, that's something that needs to be nurtured by everyone so that the company can be exceeding and excelling given opportunities that are available right now with artificial intelligence and support that we are able to receive.
It's fascinating. It's almost as if AI, when you have some control and understanding of how to work with it, is a great leveler. Because if you're using it, using your critical thinking skills, I'm looking at a lot of things. We're combating fear. We're trying to get people who have different levels of experiences together. We're grouping them all together. When you mentioned siloing, that is near and dear to my heart, because every organizations I've been in have had these silos, which are completely counterproductive to the flow of knowledge and imbue like this strange sense of control that we're now getting routing around, because with our platforms, we can communicate faster, we can communicate better, but it's not everybody's on the same level. Right, we need to understand that and believe in ourselves to be able to use these tools and go faster and further with our abilities. So you're in the thick of it then,
I certainly think about it a lot. I do write a lot of documentation right now as I work and come to see a lot of different learning opportunities. And again, some of these opportunities are very simple, as in, you know, setting up a boundary on the schedule when AI should be used and when AI is not, does not need to be part of the discussion, because not every conversation needs to be recorded and deeply analyzed by, AI tools by note takers. Some conversations need to be left private, and some conversations can be kept as explorative brainstorm sessions where people get to chat and create a personalized connection about their cats and weather and children, things like that. So some of that information certainly we don't have a good work ethic. Etiquette in general right now in understanding how do we, is it 2 days we use AI and, 3 days a week we don't, we don't have that hygiene developed yet. And of course, it's going to take some time. But separately from that, I do believe that teams that do not carry heavy titles, so let's say everyone is a lead, somebody's a marketing lead, somebody's a technical lead, somebody's
ahead of something,
customer lead, right? Like it doesn't, the title itself is becoming obsolete, right? Because everyone takes on a function for a minute, or maybe for 2 months, or maybe for less, right? And this way, we are able to be a lot more flexible and be one mind moving towards, advancing our goals. And if we don't do that, and that's something that you mentioned, we all become somewhat disadvantaged, right? Disadvantaged in how? Well, if you don't have a job, your stability is only as good as, amount of money you have saved in the bank or something like that, right? Or a family or someone that you can rely on. But if you have a network of people, then you might be able to be in better shape. Network of people that know you. Even though AI has advanced so much, the job placement and how people find jobs is still reliable. There's a reliability on personal networks. And so that's an interesting disparity right now that is really having a lot of insight with all these AI type of platforms that are helping find employment for roles that and titles that no one ever heard of, right? So now it's a comprehension of your experience and how does that whole holistic comprehension relate to possibility of a new job, because no one knows how together with AI as your partner, what is it that you're actually going to do? Because what the job says that you will do might be half of it might already be replaceable by AI, right? So we need to be really in a discussion of this deep inquiry and discovery, but also maintaining customer as a focus, right? So if our customer is someone that, for example, the type of customers that I'm looking for is an organization that needs, let's say, support in being connected to public projects, right? Or nonprofit projects. Right. So if you, let's say, a battery storage company, and some battery storage companies having very hard time entering some of the communities because community resist participation because they don't know, there's a fear. So this is something that I can, I have a lot of expertise and experience in helping craft the approach. And it's not your typical approach of tabling and, showing up at different community events and giving out freebies. This is an actual plan of how people will start talking and wanting that technology in their neighborhoods rather than be constantly being, worried and scared and pushing these conversations away. People want innovation, but they need help in certain segments. Simple example, let's say you have small children and your children play soccer and it's a volunteer organization. And, it would be great if all kids could have the same uniform and same shoes and same everything and logo, but who's going to pay for it? So if a company, battery storage or a company that's bringing new technology or doing well wants community participation, go for that. This is an easy win, right? The children are winning immediately. Community feels that you are speaking to the need of their communal inquiry right now, and you're getting a reputation that would be impossible to reach this type of population and decision makers that are young parents and young children. So crafting opportunities for immersing and helping influence the decision, but also not by being sneaky, but actually bringing, you know, good, positive energy into the community, right? So this community participation and community benefit agreements and things that, you know, they don't have to be official, but they have to be quite intentional, and people need to be working towards that, right? So it's we're helping with the purchasing power of the human mind, right? So human mind is what has the purchasing power. We don't want to give it away to other entities. So how do we, you know, engage with this conversation? How do we use technology? How do we wrap technology? How do we formulate narratives that support progress and stability for humankind? That's what I do.
Wow. Okay. my brain is on fire right now, because what I'm trying to do is actually connect dots. And what's exciting to me is all the things you're talking about. Now I'm going to reframe a little bit towards the customer education market space, because you're doing that. You're looking at the mechanisms and the tooling and AI and all this stuff, and then superimposing that on the human being. So one of the things I was thinking of, and you can tell me if I'm wrong in my model here, I have been thinking, I can mention data centers. Let's skew off of that. Let's think, you were talking about batteries, and I'm making an assumption here, but I'll play this out. Let's say I'm going to a community that's underserved, they have brownouts and other problems. Now an energy collective is coming in and saying, we can solve this problem, and this is what we're going to do. And the immediate blush is, oh, no, you're not coming in here and doing that. You're not putting this in my backyard. You're not.
That's right.
Like, okay. So now we have a disconnect. We have this corporate, you know, mentality of, we've got to just do, you know, because this is going to make us money. We've got to do. We've got a community, on the other hand, that this is huge. I'm out on TikTok and YouTube and listening to all this stuff on the terrors and the bad side effects of having data centers or something. Limit it to storage. One of the companies I had a great fortune to work with years back was an energy distribution, a planning agency, and they spent a lot of time building softwares that were servicing communities, regions, states, you know, entire multiple states that have power grids, and they were dealing with exactly what you do. We have to show up at this board meeting, but we're going to reach out to this community, and we're going to do this thing, which is bringing a bunch of, you know, battery units and some solar panels and things like that, so we can mitigate these egregious outages of power. Or, hey, yeah, we're going to bring in some charging stations for electric vehicles, because in this one region needs them, because we need to make that transition no matter what anybody says about oil and other stuff. But those are massive. Like, you've got an underserved community that doesn't know all of these tools, and now we're bridging the gap and changing the narrative, and it's as much marketing and customer education and everything. And the thing that I care about, one of my friends, that she was the ones responsible for me for doing what I am today, because she said, Dave, you found your inner teacher. That inner teacher is the person that's not in a classroom necessarily. They can be anywhere. And you're trying to bridge the gap and bring the information to the people and have them process it and chew it mentally and engage with you. And that concept of community has been kind of bastardized sometimes too, because we think of, in tech, we think of community, it's like really just a small insular group of people that have a leaderboard and it's gamified and it's just them, you know, in a loop. Whereas community really means we are working with people who might not be like us, and we're all collaborating together to do this thing. We need you. Now, AI fits into that by giving people the opportunity to do research and such, but then some of those communities don't know how to do that. They don't know how to actually be able to learn. And that's, you know, that's against me every day. I'm sitting there with AI, but I'm privileged as heck. So I've got multiple accounts. I've got, the company pays for it. I can do all this stuff. And even yet I'm underserved some days and don't quite know what I'm doing. This is really fantastic. I did want to check on time. I can go over a little bit.
We're
at the top of the hour. there's some threads that you've pursued in here. So I'd like you to lead us out with one last topic. I'm not going to pick like you to drive. And then as we walk out the door, again, talk about how we can contact you and learn about what you're doing. I like the things you say resonate with me. I could see this being appealing to many companies, particularly in spaces where, like I think about my company Vast that I work at right now. Most people would not even know what we're doing. And there's a community thrust in all of that is we're building platforms and tooling for AI systems to function way more efficiently, way more cost effectively, with less power, with all of these things. And it's a good thing, yet it's all super, you know, it's over. You know, we've got all the negative media towards all of this. And we've got to find our heart and our head in there. Anyway, let you come up with the next topic, and we're not on a real time.
I thought you were asking, how do I solve that problem for you, for the company that you work for?
Solve my problems, please.
Well, one quick advice I would give is every company is solving a problem, right? Solving a pain point that's been identified, but it's not the pain point that necessarily stays now the technology is moving so fast. So being in constant communication and listening towards with your main customers is key, because you want to see how their behavior and decision making is changing as they are adapting, you know, faster, bigger capacity, more computing power. How does that computing power, you know, helps them take on a competitive advantage and edge, right? Like now we're using this kind of like edge technology, which is AI research tool that governments used to have access to and other people have not had this access and privilege to, right? You mentioning privilege. And now we have this amazing spy tool, right? Or all-knowing tool or godlike tool, or, you know, we can start putting a lot of different labels on this tool. But we are becoming now like, wait a second, that's too strong and too powerful. How do I utilize it? So it's really important to dissect the problem that you're facing or some of the continuous resistance that you're hearing back, right? Like if you're reaching out to customers and you're getting the same message, rather than like, okay, let me try 100 more times, which used to be the strategy before. Okay, I heard this 5 times. That's more than enough. There is my answer in that. So really diving into the resistance, right? This gray zone. And I have a PowerPoint presentation that I put exactly on that, on the gray zone. What is gray zone? How do I identify gray zone? Every business wants to know where their gray zone is so that they can actually put attention there, right? Rather than like, okay, we need to change a strategy, our marketing strategy for the next year. No. If something is working, continue doing that. Let's see where implementation of technology can help. It cannot help all across the business supply chain line and operations, because technology is not there yet. We might not be able to afford that level of technology even if we were there, right? That's why we have hyperscalers, right, who are able to afford, who are planning forward with that, but it's far from the mainstream customer. So really being in tune with the customer and staying connected to the mission and vision of your organization, but also of customers that you're serving, because every customer that is a business customer, right? If it's a business to business or business to government, has a mission, right? So keeping that really, and I feel like we oftentimes only connect possibly on mission vision in initial discussions. And then that kind of dissipates, right? We get into the partnership of, okay, let's complete this task. Let's create this integration. Let's see what else we can upsell. What else do you don't even think you need, but we already can help you figure it out, right? Instead of that, scaling it back and really narrowing in to mission and vision of the company, possibly revising that, and also working with other companies' missions and visions. And this is how you're going to be able to maintain the upsell and the strong trust within organizational stakeholder mapping, right? Stakeholder mapping is also something that I do. And I think there is a lot that has not been done in stakeholder understanding, because decisions are made differently right now. There are gatekeepers. There are only few people that are in the know who are influencers to decision makers. So really knowing how all of that has changed is valuable information in order to make business decisions, in order to grow businesses, in order to sell new AI technology or AI intelligence, you know, in a different package, because that's what's happening right now. Everyone's packaging artificial intelligence
in everything,
right? It's becoming mass produced, but so many different things. You're like, oh, wow, I didn't know I had that problem. But
it's so really complicated.
Right. I mean, it's complicated in terms of like nuance, right? Because once you get into depth, that's when the expertise becomes really useful and helpful. Like you had 20 years of experience. You probably have seen a variety of different scenarios work out, right? And that still gives you validation of what to do next rather than relying on what technology tells you. So now you have your own personal experience, and that experience really drives forward conversation with AI partner, right? You coming from where you are, from what you know, leaving behind all the emotional baggage, right? Because like you had a good coworker, you had a bad boss, you had a customer that now is your best friend, you had a customer that ghosted you. You know, all of that as a humans we carry, right? Like some connections are more meaningful than others. So when we start putting that away, so nothing really means anything, and we're here to really improve each other's lives, then conversation shapes a different form. And, you know, we are able to be a lot more empathetic to AI, to each other, and to what future holds, which is still, which is a big uncertainty, and it's going to continue to be that. But you know, this is where we strive. We adapt to uncertainty, and we make decisions that influence the future today. So just kind of being very aware of that as well. So I know I'm saying a lot, and some of it is very deep in terms of thought. I know this is a intellectual podcast and the first episode, so I want to make sure that you know, I got people thinking.
You're on track.
Yeah, people thinking. And listeners, you know, if you do have any additional questions or if something really resonated with you, connect with me on LinkedIn. That's the easiest way. Send me a message through my website, ariaenergy.co, and I'd love to talk more. I'd love to hear, you know, what are you working on? What are some of the challenges? What are the opportunities and maybe immediate wins that seem overly promising? Because right now there's a lot of that too. So I'd love to level set, you know, help with setting sales strategies and go-to-market strategies, growth strategies. This is applicable in all and in every segment of business. So it's, again, it's a belief system. How do we make a belief that whatever comes next is the best possible thing that we could have done with what we have right now? So every business has a chance to grow and blossom, and this is where I come in and coach and help companies, and here's my cat.
How cool. You know, and that you said so many things. I'm only going to say mention one response. You mentioned the word empathy, which I adore. And so many times, one of the things that I have done a lot of in my work, and I was, I won't say groomed, but the company Gainsight that I worked for was a human first company. They focused a lot on using your heart and your head together. And then they bridged over into the AI more recently, interchanging that. One of the things I always do is like go. I was asked to build a bunch of stuff in one company, and I said, I'm going to go talk to the customers. Like, oh, no, you're not. Okay, excuse me. I need an N of 20. I need to talk to 20 customers in a cohort that is ranging this. I want to hear what they are scared about. I want to hear what they love. Like, there are partners in growth and change in any company and organization. Is not just an isolated group of people working together. It is that whole collective of internal, external, whatever. Learning is universal. And I'm really liking what you're putting out there into the world. That this is just neat stuff. It is a little heady, but it's also learning about AI, learning how to utilize it and make it be your partner, not just become enslaved by this constant perpetual flywheel of creating content and pumping out AI garbage. No, we're using it to enhance what we do, to grow, to learn. And it sounds like you're providing the exact kind of coaching and developing opportunities, bringing in interns and bringing them part of the portfolio and having them be part. This is just absolutely.
Yeah, I brought them in as six minds that think differently than mine, and now I'm encouraging them to use additional minds of digital platforms and AI tools. And we just started, but I already feel I'm lacking behind because there are deliverables and delegation of information that. That still I'm the center of it. And I think that's something that I'm understanding that it's the same issue within a lot of organizations where experts are holding the vision and thus holding progress just because of the capacity issue, but just because the communication hasn't shifted from, you know, a manager type of role to everybody now holds piece of information. And because of that, it's much easier to get movement, right? Rather than having one decision maker. So it's really interesting learning process. This is the first, I mean, I've worked with interns and I mentor young students and young talent for years and years. And it's my commitment to make sure that if I am preaching that we are all life learners, and I'm not doing it myself. I'm not doing it justice. So I'm constantly learning from youth, and I'm constantly learning that we are undervaluing what they're bringing, because what they're bringing is quite unique and quite interesting. A lot of youth are into games and gaming, and the logical mindset and the pattern recognition that they have developed is outside of imaginable. And that is critical right now. Pattern recognition, how are we making decisions? How can we automate and improve process of iteration, right? So we went from waterfall to agile. Now it's exponentially faster. Now we're able to make alterations and adjustments and honing in on the value and always in one prompt. So how are we able to harvest what we able to get out of it? Because we are getting a lot more output than we're able to process as, you know, within human capacity. So really being mindful in holding it dear to our hearts, right? Because it's not something that we chose, but this time is when we live. So the best that we can do is to embrace it, honor it, be humble, and really, again, enroll ourselves into this fun experience with friends, colleagues, and family in how can we be better people, how to be better people, right? Like, it's an ultimate goal that AI is unfolding right now. How can we learn to be better people?
I'm not going to add anything. That is wonderful. Anya, thank you so much for your time today.
Amazing.
You've given some links. I will also, as we move out the door, I will make sure that on our website, we direct people to you. We'll be out on LinkedIn talking as well. So reach out, talk to Anya. I'm so thankful to have you on the show. This was a great way to start out our next season.
Absolutely.
We've bridged the divide, and you've got a lot of great stuff to talk about. It makes me a little, emotional. I like it.
All right. Well, I'm excited to hear what your listeners have to say. And let's talk more. Maybe I'll close this series as well. I'll be opening and closing speaker. But there's a lot of interesting stuff that I'm doing. I'm building out curriculums for some of the universities right now in helping them work with their upskilling the learners and how to learn and how to use AI now as a learning tool. So hype AI and progress is are the words that are constantly coming up. And we certainly want to ensure that a human is in the lead. Human mind is where we're harvesting a lot of information. However, human body is just as valuable. And there are a lot of jobs that unfortunately cannot be replaced. But yet we are seeing, you know, robotics and drones and some other technology coming in also, you know, very closely in some of the construction and energy related businesses, where we need to be thinking about workforce and how does what does it mean if we're replacing one type of job? What can we replace? What can be placed instead? How can we, you know, be serving, communicating better to other people to make them feel comfortable around technology? So we have a lot of, you know, opportunities ahead of us and a lot of possibilities of what future could be like. But certainly check out my website, arianergy.co, and I'd love to stay connected and see where it goes.
Wonderful. I look forward to seeing and staying in contact with you too, because it's been a great discussion.
Yeah.
Great way to kick off the year. All right. So we'll go walk out the door to now and say, again, if you want to learn more, our podcast website is at customer.education. You'll find notes, links, all that kind of stuff. So of course, we'll have all of your links posted up there as well. And we are a part of community as well. When I think of community, I think of all the practitioners and leaders, regardless of what platform you're on. And we're often on LinkedIn, but there's YouTube and TikTok and whatever. We're all out there. We'll always find C-Lab as being part of it. Find us on LinkedIn and everywhere else. Special thanks to our friend Alan Cota for making our amazing theme music, which always never fails to disappoint. And if this helps you out, once again, please help us out by subscribing to our show and any of the podcatchers like Apple Podcast, Overcast, Stitcher, Spotify. We're out there in all of them. I've been looking at some of the stats recently, and we're in really the top 10% of all podcasts in the world because of consistency and great customer and great voices like you, Anya. So thank you so much. And if you're interested in being on this show, we want to talk to you. We're talking very pragmatic and also very heady materials that are plaguing us right now. How do we bring humanity into learning and working with AI?
And amazing.
Again, 5-star review on Apple Podcasts would help us out if you're so inclined. And thank you for joining us. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people. Thanks, Paul.
Awesome. Thanks so much, everyone.